This podcast was produced from a webinar. For a more interactive experience with visuals, visit myamericannurse.com/webinars.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to Sherry. It's such an honor to share with you today. Thank you to particularly Sherry, the American Nurse Journal, and Assured Financial Services for hosting today's webinar. Let me start with a little bit of background about me. I've been a nurse for the past 11 years. I started my career as an ICU staff nurse in Dallas, Texas, and then in 2018, I started my journey as a travel nurse with Aya Healthcare. In those 6 years, I've worked in over 30 hospitals across the U.S. In October of last year, as Sherry mentioned, I came on board as Aya's nurse fellow. So internally, I work to share the clinician perspective in the areas that it's needed. And externally, I do clinician advocacy and education about nursing and travel nursing. Something that you should know about me is that I love nursing. It's funny, we were joking in the prep call about the short notice of this webinar, and I was quick to reply to Sherry that honestly, there's no amount of time that's too short notice for me to talk about nursing. You can honestly ask my coworkers. I just will not shut up about this stuff. And it's from my own personal experience and in the bigger picture of healthcare, nursing is something I just truly believe in and value. Because of my experience and my current role, I've personally been a part of many conversations about travel nursing, which is, of course, the topic of today's webinar. And something that I've noticed is that the discussion tends to center on the how and the what and the where of travel nursing. But when I talk about travel nursing, I like to start the conversation with the why. What is my personal why, that deeper purpose and connection to travel nursing? Something else that you should know about me is that my favorite thing about nursing is the stories. I would contend that nobody has better stories than nurses. As a matter of fact, my little brother and sister are also both nurses. And when we get together, we do what all nurses do when they get together. And I know that the nurses in this audience understand this. We jump from story to story to story, and we share the funny moments and the challenging moments and the beautiful moments that come from being a nurse and delivering care to patients. So in the spirit of nursing, on Nurses Week, to illustrate my why, I want to share a story about a patient named Rob. I was on assignment in Colorado with Aya in 2019 when I met Rob. He was an otherwise healthy 50-year-old male who had suffered a seizure at home 8 weeks earlier. Scans were done, consults were made, and Rob was diagnosed with an aggressive brain tumor. The oncology team had recommended surgery and radiation therapy, but Rob declined and chose to pursue a natural, holistic treatment option on his own. 8 weeks later, here he was, in my ICU after multiple seizures at home had brought him back to the hospital. The seizures were getting more frequent and more severe by the day. I knew I was walking into a bit of a messy situation when a frustrated oncologist came out of Rob's room in the middle of report. He chuckled at me as he walked past and threw his hands up in the air and just said, "Hey, if there's any way that you can get through to him, knock yourself out." I learned in report that providers for week after week had approached Rob and they told him that he needed surgery and radiation. As clinicians, we understand this delicate balance, right? Our primary goal is to respect and empower our patients to make their own medical decisions. And through communication and connection, we look for those opportunities where we can educate them. And the other thing is, if you've spent time in healthcare settings, you also know that this type of situation isn't uncommon. There are many valid reasons that patients have mistrust or apprehension about hospitals or medicine. The hard truth is, delivering healthcare is an imperfect science. Healthcare is full of complex problems, and they rarely have simple solutions. Whether it's a situation within our control or outside of our control, there are going to be times as clinicians that we don't get it right. When it came to caring for Rob that shift, thankfully years of nursing had already taught me a very valuable lesson, which is I can't change what's already happened, but I can do everything in my power to get it right for Rob this time. I walked into his room expecting to meet a frustrated and upset patient, but in fact, Rob was the opposite. He was soft-spoken and kind. I could tell that he was well-loved from how his family treated him and the concern on their faces. I introduced myself, and while completing my nursing tasks and a head-to-toe assessment, I asked questions. I asked about his life and his family, his profession, how he felt that day. And because this audience is nurses, you already know what I was doing. I was using the oldest nursing trick in the book. Through that kindness, through asking questions, through taking the time to get to know my patient, I was building relationship. As a nurse, every single shift, we have to learn how to build trust and make someone comfortable. Often a patient or family who was guarded and suspicious. So to care for Rob, I focused on his needs. He'd wanted a specific type of organic protein shake, but the kitchen kept bringing up the wrong one. So I called down and I got it fixed. He'd wanted to shave, but his dexterity had been affected by the seizures. And so I offered to shave him. He happily accepted. You know, it may seem trivial, but the small things matter. Even the act of shaving Rob gave me another 30 minutes to build relationship with him and his family. And I found that the most impactful parts of nursing is that as nurses, we have the power not only to seek out those moments in healthcare, but to create them. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm an ICU nurse. I love the high intensity. I love the high stakes moments of healthcare. But there's also something so pure and so powerful about the human moments between a patient and a nurse. And the further I've traveled in my career and the further I progress, the more effort I save and reserve to create those moments in healthcare. The next morning, I was assigned Rob again. And I was present in the room when the oncologist shared the findings from his overnight CT scan. The tumor was growing and the window for effective treatment was closing. And again, Rob declined treatment. While completing my tasks that morning, I reinforced that I was there to support him and his family however I could. I could tell from the Bible that he often read and the scriptures that were taped on his wall that him and his family were deeply religious. And although I don't consider myself as religious these days, I was raised that way. And I hold deep respect for the religious beliefs of my patients who adhere to them. So I offered to pray with them. Being anxious and discouraged, they gladly accepted, and we prayed together. Later that day, I was completing some tasks when Rob stopped me to ask, "I want to know, if it were you or your dad, what would you do?" After days of building relationship, I finally had a path to have a conversation. I sat with Rob and his family for close to an hour, and we talked. I pulled up progress notes and CT scans. I gave them space to voice their fears and concerns. And afterwards, I gave them time to discuss. About an hour later, Rob informed me of their decision to proceed with the recommended surgery and radiation. I said my goodbyes to Rob and his family at shift change that evening, and Rob was discharged out of the ICU by my next shift. I never saw Rob again. Or learned of what became of him. And if I'm being honest, that can be one of the hardest things about being a nurse. We have this window of time where we work so hard to build a relationship and to make a difference in our patients' lives. And yet we often don't know what happens next. Especially as an ICU nurse, we rarely get to read the next chapter of the story. In Rob's case, what I cared about was the pride that I could take knowing that we'd given him the best chance possible to get better. Time passed, a global pandemic occurred, and I forgot all about Rob and those two shifts. Nearly 3 years later, I was grocery shopping while visiting some friends back in Colorado when I heard someone say my name. It was Rob's daughter. I'll admit that I didn't recognize her at first, but she reminded me as she walked over, and it all came back. We broke down into tears in a grocery store aisle as she told me that Rob was alive and well, and that he'd been cancer-free for almost 2 years. As we hugged, she said something to me that will stay with me for the rest of my life, which is, if you hadn't been there that day, I don't know if Dad would be with us now. Now, of all the emotion that I felt in that moment and still feel today when I share that story, the one that stands out the most is gratitude. I'm grateful that in Rob's case, unlike so many patients throughout my career, I got the chance to read the next chapter of his story and know how I was a part of it. Now, I don't share this story with you to convince you of what a great nurse I am. I would guarantee that each of you has a story where you made a difference for a patient through your communication and the trust that you built. I share this story to illustrate that for Rob, I was the right nurse in the right place at the right time to make a difference. Because at its core, this is a story about nursing and the impact and the reach that a nurse has to meet a patient where they're at and make a difference. And that story by itself is a beautiful nursing moment and one that I honestly love sharing. But it's not the full story. To share the full story, we have to go back a few years earlier. At that point, I was 5 years into my career as an ICU nurse. And while I loved the ICU and bedside nursing, I felt stuck. I was burnout. I had even developed uncertainty about the nursing career path, even with how hard I'd worked to get there, even with how much patient care meant to me, I felt in some ways that my nursing career had let me down. Just like Rob felt about healthcare. I considered what many nurses consider in that situation, which is going to outpatient work or going back to school for an advanced practice degree or even leaving the profession altogether. On a whim one afternoon, I searched travel nursing online and I set up a phone call with one of Aya's recruiters. I figured it's worth a shot and well, if I hate it, it's 3 months and all those other options will still be there. I decided to take the leap and 2 months later, I was on the road to Colorado for my first assignment. The full story is that travel nursing didn't just let me read the next chapter of Rob's story. Travel nursing gave me a chance to write another chapter in the story of my nursing career. See, for me and where I was at in my nursing career, travel nursing was a reset button. It created an opportunity for me to remain at the bedside, caring for patients and filling critical needs in communities across the US, all while injecting new perspective and experiences into my development as a clinician that I could not have found any other way. In my 6 years as a travel nurse, I have remained at the bedside, delivering care to patients like Rob. I would not trade those moments or that contribution to humanity for anything in my life. And just like I was the right nurse at the right time for Rob, travel nursing was the right opportunity at the right time in my career. And that's why it means so much to me. That's my why for travel nursing. And now that we have talked about my why for travel nursing, this is the appropriate time to pivot the conversation into the how of travel nursing. And to discuss this more practical side of travel nursing, I think you have to start with a two-part question, right? Which is, do you have the right qualities to succeed as a traveler? And do you have the right support to succeed as a traveler? And let's talk about a little bit what I mean by that, starting with this right qualities, okay? So something I found in my travel nursing journey is, and just with interacting with so many seasoned travelers over the year, is that there are certain qualities that will help you succeed as a travel nurse. Now, especially if you're not a traveler, you're gonna hear some of these qualities and there's going to be a thought that's going to occur to you. And that is, wait a minute, he's not talking about a good travel nurse, he's just talking about a good nurse. Which to me, therein lies the beauty of travel nursing. Is I believe that many of the same qualities that make you a better nurse or a good nurse will empower you to be a successful traveler. It's about embracing that growth process and leaning into the right qualities. And the first one I want to cover here is resilience, right? So again, we're starting with one of the most important qualities of a good nurse, which is resilience. And I found that travel nursing can amplify the need for resilience because travel nurses can face a lot of unknowns. There are going to be highs and lows in a travel nursing journey. You're going to face many situations that test you. There's the navigating the evolving staffing market and more. Nurses who have the ability to weather the storm through the learned skill of resilience and embracing that sort of unknown are going to be nurses who are better equipped to succeed as travelers. And that goes for inside and outside a hospital. In your workflow, even when you're working, you're going to be working in a new environment with new coworkers. You're going to be asked to float to different units a lot of times. All of those things require a strong nursing foundation and resilience. Next is adaptability, right? So to be a successful traveler, you have to be nimble. It's important to remember that you're being brought in to help with a staffing need, and you are brought in to be a part of that solution. So if you have the capacity to adapt as a traveler, you're going to be making yourself a valuable asset to the hospital that you're working at. I mean, we all know already that nurses, in terms of workflow, wear lots of different hats already. And each unique hospital needs can require a lot more flexibility from the traveler. You just kind of don't know what you're going to be required to do until you get there. And again, there's going to be a good chance that every shift you're learning new faces, new protocol, new equipment, and flexibility is your friend. I'm of the belief that it's important to be upfront about that reality in traveling. And kind of note that nurses who don't do well with unpredictability in their workflow or their environment might not be the best fit for traveling, and that's okay too. I just don't think we're doing anybody any favors by portraying travel nursing to be something that it's not. It's good to have an awareness of those expectations. And I do want to make an important caveat here, and that's to say that it's not acceptable or shouldn't be accepted that the traveler should be placed in unsafe conditions in terms of like patient acuity or patient load. And in that case, that's why it's so important to have that established relationship with your recruiter and your agency, and so that they can support and advocate you. And then finally, diplomacy. And this is one that I feel is often overlooked in traveling. Anyone with exposure to hospital units, essentially, knows that there are many complex dynamics that are happening and playing out around us all the time. As a traveler, you don't really know what those are, and you're a guest in someone else's home. So it's important to show up with an attitude of respect and kindness. You're the new face, and you have an opportunity to set the tone with the right attitude and the right approach. To me, the other piece of diplomacy here is taking full advantage of your opportunity to build your professional network. This is an underrated perk of traveling, is that you have an opportunity to build a really great network as a clinician. And things like work references, future job opportunities, and more can come about from being an asset to the hospital and being strategic about your relationships. And then next, I want to pivot to our right support. So beyond just those right qualities, it's important that you understand that you're not just this lone maverick. I think my biggest misconception going into traveling was that I was kind of going to be this lone maverick and facing the challenges of travel nursing alone, when what I found is that the exact opposite is true. You need support and you need infrastructure as a traveler more than ever. And that starts with the right agency. This is always an interesting one, because something I remember when I started looking into traveling 6 years ago was just the overwhelming number of agencies that existed. And it has gotten 10 times more confusing now for travelers who are just starting to look into this. And really, my advice on this piece goes back to my story with Rob, in that I believe that relationship building is the universal language of healthcare. And as a nurse, it's incredibly important that you partner with an agency that prioritizes the clinician experience, has the market reach to get you the jobs that you want, and the infrastructure to support you each step of the way, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment here, starting with our recruiter, right? So as a traveler, just to kind of break down this relationship structure, your primary relationship with your agency is usually your recruiter. And I like to think of your recruiter as kind of your guide in your journey as a travel nurse. They are experts in the staffing market, and they can provide valuable insight to you into the bigger trends of travel nursing. And the truth is, you're going to need that insight, because travel nursing is a competitive market, and you want someone in your corner who has your best interest in mind. I mean, for example, even when it comes to something as simple as choosing your next assignment, there are many factors that are going to influence your decision, like location and unit and contract duration and your pay. Your recruiter can walk you through each of those pros and cons and help you find that perfect fit and match you with the best assignment. And then finally, the right infrastructure. And this looks like a few different things in terms of infrastructure, but ultimately it's important as a traveler that you evaluate the support and the infrastructure that you have access to. Not all agencies are created equal in this sense, and it can make or break your experience as a traveler. I already mentioned this first line of support in terms of your recruiter, but additionally, agencies can have support in terms of like credentialing, licensing, any clinical issues and clinical support that may arise, or just any more unknown issues that may come up in your travel nursing experience. Which this is actually a perfect segue for me to introduce the other speaker of today's webinar, which is the Senior Vice President of IAS Experience Department, Amy Bruce. Amy is not only an incredible person, but she is an expert on the operational side of healthcare. She has seen it all in her 18 years in the healthcare staffing industry. Her department, IAS Experience Department, is dedicated solely to supporting clinicians before, during, and after assignments. And it's an honor to introduce her this morning. Amy, take it away.
Thank you, Zach. I couldn't agree more that the level of support that an agency can offer their clinicians, both to prepare them for their assignment, but also for their travel career, can really make or break the entire experience and the entire career that they choose to travel. There's a couple of different types of support that I want to talk about today. The first type of support would be what I would call proactive support. So generally speaking, that's going to be kind of what happens maybe right around the time you sign your contract, your agreement to go work on a travel assignment. The right agency should be able to walk you through their benefits offerings. You're likely to be transitioning, right, from whatever, wherever you're coming from to a new benefits plan. They'll walk you through that information, how to enroll. They'll walk you through payroll, timekeeping. What is it going to look like now that you're a part of this agency? When's your first payday? Also, provide you with helpful information for the facility that you're going to. They should be able to provide you information on where you're going to park on your first day. They should be able to tell you what scrub color or what uniform requirement is happening. And this is, you know, before you get there, before the days leading up to the assignment. Also, pretty important, transportation and logistics. The right agency is going to be able to help you navigate this large portion of your journey. There's a lot of different options, and your agency should be able to, one, provide you with corporate housing if that's what you so choose, or provide you with resources and some ideas on where others have had success in the area or places we've used before. You can travel alone, choose to get a roommate, with your family, with pets. All of these things are options, and the right organization will be able to help you through that journey. Additionally, the next type would be what I consider reactive support. Stuff happens. Zach talked about this. You just never know. Whether it is a random question that happens a couple weeks into your assignment, or maybe something that happens during a shift, you've got timekeeping questions. Maybe an 11 p.m. needle stick and you're just not sure who to talk to. Is it the hospital or your agency? Your car breaks down on the way to your shift. What do you do? It's important that you find an agency that has some 24/7 support for you to help navigate those things that maybe you wouldn't necessarily always think have to do with your assignment. But that kind of brings me into that third level of support that I would call personalized human support. And what I mean by that is, what can we do as an agency to help you as a human being versus maybe just an employee? I think it's really important that we build relationships. Let us into your life as much as you're willing, because the more we get to know you, the more we can deliver one-size-fits-one solutions. Certainly, every organization has rules and policies, but specifically for our organization, this is an important part of the actual job description, is figuring out how we can meet people where they are and deliver a solution that works for them. A very random but sad example that came up a couple of months ago was, we had a traveler who was on assignment away from home, and she left her family behind to travel solo. Unfortunately, there was a fire and her family's home burned down. Everyone was safe. Her husband and her children are okay, but they lost their home and their possessions. So, you know, of course, when we find out about this, we reach out immediately, see what we can do. In that immediate sense, we absorbed just some logistical things for her, working with the facility to change her schedule for a couple of weeks and allow a little bit of time off so she could go home and see her family. And then trying to treat this as this humanized personal approach, we say, okay, what would I hope someone would do for me if I were in this situation? Well, we're certainly not experts in fires or disasters, but, you know, if something happened to my family, I would hope that someone would reach out and ask if there was, you know, anything else we could do to support. So we did that. This traveler, being a very sweet, polite soul, declined help, but we just, you know, continued to provide additional support. And a couple of days later, through conversation, we identified that, you know, oh, what is this Airbnb missing that the family is staying in? She let us know that they were really short on towels and blankets, which I think is pretty normal for Airbnbs. So we were able to get those delivered right away. We also sent some backpacks for the kids, since those were no longer, and they were able to have new backpacks for school. But this was just an idea of something that we could do to make her life a little bit easier while she was away on assignment. She did not want to leave the assignment. It was important for her to financially support her family. And so this is just an example of a way we were able to deliver that, like, one size fits one human approach. We care about you. We want to do whatever we can to make your life as stress-free as possible while you're on assignment. And I think, you know, how do you find an agency that will do that? You know, let us in, let's build that relationship. And I think also something to think about, are you talking to happy people on the phone when you're working with this agency? I think happy people are passionate and will typically see challenges as an opportunity. So, you know, if you're interacting with happy people, chances are that those people are having a positive corporate experience. Their organization is treating them well, and therefore, you know, they will want to deliver the same type of experience for you in order to make your journey a very positive one. That is what I will leave you with. But Zach, back over to you.
Thank you so much, Amy. And thank you to everyone who has attended here. I'm hoping that you guys found this information helpful and relevant. And just to kind of quickly summarize, travel nursing is a uniquely empowering and rewarding career option for the right nurse. And again, in terms of your qualities and support and your why, everyone, even with what Amy was sharing, everyone is going to look a little bit different in that sense. But ultimately, it's for the right nurse, it's going to afford you the opportunity to travel the country, get incredible life experience, work when and where you want, and have more autonomy over your career path and decisions. And all the while, you are enriching your clinician experience and building that network. I'm going to turn it back over to Sherry now so that we can jump into the Q&A. But thank you again so much, everyone, for your time, and looking forward to these questions.
Thank you, Amy Bruce and Zach Shepard. Love the stories and your view of travel nursing. So let's get started and answering some questions. Please note you can continue to type in questions in the Q&A section. So first, let's see. How do taxes work for travelers when you work and live in different states? Interesting question. I didn't think about that. Amy, do you want to take that?
Sure, sure. It's a great question. I will say this. It's likely very complicated, especially if you're, you know, a career traveler and going from state to state and living away from your tax home. We always encourage you to find a tax professional to help support you through your journey. You know, no one is going to know your situation as well as you do, and someone that you're willing to grant, you know, the keys to the kingdom and give access to your financials and situation. So truly, we believe it's best practice to find someone, a tax professional, to help support you there.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Let's see. Do you have any interview tips? And I'll pass this to Zach, maybe, since you've been a travel nurse for so long. What, do you have tips for getting through the interview process?
Absolutely. So part of that interview, part of the travel nurse submission and getting on assignments is that oftentimes you will interview with the unit manager of the prospective hospital that you might be working at. And so, yeah, it can be a stressful thing. And it, you know, it, of course, many nurses go through interview for their original employment. But for the most part, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying in terms of, you know, it's important to portray your experience, and it's important to portray your travel, your nursing journey accurately to the manager, I think would be the first thing. In terms of like, what is your skill set? What is your experience with certain protocols, certain equipment, you know, especially coming from an ICU background, you know, there's things like ventilators and CRRTs and balloon pumps and Impellas and all those things. And ultimately you're not doing yourself or your agency or the hospital and ultimately your patients any favors by not being upfront and honest about those things. So be accurate in that sense. And then also I would say ask questions would be my other tip for it. Just like with any interview, you're interviewing them just as much as they're interviewing you. And so, you know, if you are curious about things like floating or the workflow for that unit and how frequently and how they utilize travelers, it can be really valuable information for you to learn if it's a good fit or not. So that's kind of where I would close that.
Thanks, Zach. Okay, we have another question. What's involved in the typical onboarding process? Amy, you might want to take that since you help with onboarding.
Mm-hmm, yep. So I will say this, your first travel assignment with any given organization is probably going to feel like maybe the most cumbersome for you as the clinician, simply because you're starting from scratch. But generally speaking, the organization will have someone that helps you with your like compliance and credentialing, which is your file that is needed. Typically, agencies will require exactly what the hospital requires or the hospital system requires. It's a pass down of information from them, which also means that, you know, when you take your second assignment or your third assignment, you may need to do something additional. Your agency should be able to set you up if you need any lab work or blood draws, anything of that nature. Your agency should set you up with that and help and take care of that for you. Certainly, you'll need to spend time carving out of your schedule to do that. And then also too, I had mentioned kind of when I was talking in the proactive support portion of events, there should be someone that helps you with kind of some of the HR things, right? Like just the basics, benefits enrollment, payroll, all of that. So depending on the agency, sometimes all of that work lies with one person, with just the recruiter. You know, the larger organizations usually have a dedicated person who's an expert in each individual step of the journey.
Okay, thank you. Here's a great question. Maybe a tough answer. How much experience is required to become a traveler?
Well, that is a great question. And that is a question that I get often. And I have the opportunity, thankfully, to interact with so many nurses throughout my career who are interested in traveling, whether it's like I'm working at the hospital that they're already employed at, or just on the internet and social media and nursing forums and those kind of things. And there's so much interest in travel nursing in this newer generation of nurses, which again is part of the reason that I think it's so important for us on the operational side of healthcare to get it right for nurses, to create opportunities for nurses to do this, because a lot of nurses are interested in this. And on the experience standpoint, I would say that the industry standard is kind of at the minimum, you should have 1 year of experience in the specialty that you're interested in working in. A lot of times hospitals will look favorably on anything past like 2 years, right? So the bottom line is the more experience you have doing your work, the more exposure you have to all the different challenges that come up in patient care, particularly if it's like a specialty like ICU, ER, PCU, tele, anything like that in terms of that specific workflow, the more experience you have, the more the hospital is going to be looking at prioritizing that and discovering whether or not you're a good fit, right? So at the minimum, it should be 1 year experience, but 2 years and above really ultimately is also kind of where you, I think, can kind of set mm-hmm. yourself apart. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Of course.
Let's see, we have a question about what happened if there are no assignments available in your specialty after your 13-week work session. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. What about availability and planning for future assignments?
Totally. And that's a huge piece of where that recruiter relationship comes in and why it's so important to have that market reach with an agency that has the infrastructure to have jobs across the U.S. This is a very real thing that happens. And there's a few things that you can do. And again, it does go back to that adaptability piece that I talked about in my presentation. But for one, if you're a higher acuity nurse, right? So if you're doing ICU or step down ICU, you have in some circumstances the opportunity to flex down. Let's say you were working in a place like Seattle and I love Seattle. I want to keep working there. I love this hospital, but there's no ICU jobs. Okay, well, maybe we could coordinate putting you at a telemetry job that you've probably already floated to that unit, or a PCU job where you're taking a lower acuity patient. I have done multiple contracts with AYA where I did tele or PCU because there weren't ICU jobs available in the market that I worked in. So that can be an option for the right nurse. But again, you got to be nimble. You got to be ready to float. You got to be ready to take assignments and not necessarily get too stuck up on your specialty, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, some of the agencies like AYA who have more market reach are going to have jobs at other hospitals in that market as well. So that's another option as well.
So be flexible, sounds like.
Be flexible.
Okay. So that's it for the questions. And just a reminder that the webinar will be available on demand shortly. And please feel free to share the webinar with your colleagues. Let me go to the last slide. Thank you again, Zach Shepherd and Amy Bruce from AYA Healthcare. I also want to acknowledge again the support we received from Assured Financial Services, the sponsor for this webinar that specializes in tax services for nurses. Please scan the QR code to find out more about Assured Financial Services. And thank you all for joining us today, and happy Nurses Week again. Take care.